The Bible is a bestseller, isn't it? Everybody knows that. It's probably the bestseller of all the books in the world. Now, why does this old book, it's very, very old, why does it stay so popular? Well, I think it's because, partly because of this. And this is I'm going to read from the text that I'm going to preach from. It's Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, just two verses. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. The Bible is still popular because of what its author has to offer. You know, it's really true. What the author of the Bible has to offer is contained in these verses. Now, Isaiah was prophesying at a time when Israel had been enslaved, the northern tribes of Israel had been enslaved by Assyria, and Judah, where he was preaching, was soon to go into captivity into Babylon. And Isaiah knew that. It was a time of confusion and a time of poverty. A time of confusion and poverty. Now, God sometimes uses times of economic turmoil, like we're in right now. It's economic turmoil. And financial depression. We're in that right now. And He uses those things to whet our spiritual thirst, to help us to look spiritually at what we need. And that's because only the hungry and the thirsty poor are able to feast at the Master's table. Really, you think about it. No one comes to this table but those who are spiritually hungry. Oh, it can be a religious type of thing that people go through, like Terry was mentioning. It could be religion, and people go through a ritual and they don't recognize it. But if you really eat at this table, you really feed your soul at this table, then what you have done, you first recognized that you were hungry and thirsty spiritually. So, who are invited to this table then? Who are invited to this water, this wine, this bread that he's talking about in this verse, or these two verses? Well, his words are, come all, come all. Because why? All are poor. The problem is, not everybody recognizes it. Not everybody recognizes that they are poor. They don't realize that they're poor. And that's a major obstacle that is diagnosed by our Lord in Revelation chapter 3. Here's what he says. He's talking actually to Christians. And he says, for you say, I am rich. I have prospered. I need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Now, my dad used to say a lot of things, and I always kept a hold of them. And one of the things he used to say is this: it's no shame to be poor, it's just not handy. And that's right. But in Bible times, it was a shameful thing to be poor. A naked beggar was it was a shameful sign to be naked and a beggar, because it was a sign of poverty, and that was shameful. If you were well off and you had two garments, you were supposed to, Jesus said, you were supposed to give one of your garments to the poor and the cold person who had nothing. They were naked in the street. They may be being homeless. Our homeless today would be like, if they were naked, they'd be like streakers. But in Jesus' time, if they didn't have that garment, they had nothing. They were naked, and you were supposed to give your garment, if you had two, and you were well off to one of them, because you at least were not that poor. Another thing that this passage says is that God wants us to recognize that we are not just poor, but we're starving. He wants us to recognize that we're spiritually starving. But not all people sense this. I recently saw on an eating disorder website. It was to advertise an eating disorders and try to help people with it. And it had a picture of a naked girl in front of a mirror, and she had anorexia. Okay, so she was standing in front of this mirror and she was looking in the mirror, but she was seeing a big fat lady. She's seeing this big fat lady, but really, what was standing in front of the mirror was just a bare skin and bones. Just bare skin and bones. And she was seeing this fat. That's anorexia. And you know what? Spiritual obesity is not our problem. In this society especially, spiritual obesity is not our problem. It's anorexia. People are starving spiritually and they don't see it. They don't recognize it. They can't see it. It without knowing it, they're starving themselves to death. And the other thing that God says in this come all is that all are welcome. All are welcome, but not all believe it. Not all people believe it. And this is the great tragedy of the human condition. Our Creator is out there wanting to meet our soul's deepest need, but people don't even believe He exists, or if they do, they have strange ideas about what He's like. But if we realize our state of poverty, our spiritual poverty, and our spiritual starvation, then we might believe His invitation, take Him up on it, and then we will be qualified to dine at the Master's table. And this is the second part. What qualifies us? What are the qualifications? And I think there are two in the passage, at least. The first one is this: all you who are thirsty. Thirsty for what? Matthew 5, 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Thirst for righteousness. Thirst can be stimulated. And God sometimes does that stimulation. I remember when I was a kid going across the desert in a car on vacation with my dad to Indiana. We used to go back and forth to Indiana. Invariably, on the radio would be this song, this cruel, cruel song, repeated again three or four times. My dad would listen to these old country western stations, and this was a thirst wedding song, okay? And it was sort of cruel. It was called Cool Water. Okay, you guys, listen to this. All day I faced a barren waste without the taste of water. Cool water. Old Dan and I with folks burnt dry and souls that cry for water. Cool, clear water. Dan is the donkey, by the way. The shadows sway and seem to say, tonight we pray for water, cool water. And way up there He'll hear our prayer and show us where there's water, cool, clear water. Keep a moving, Dan. Don't you listen to him, Dan. He's a devil, not a man, and he spreads the burning sand with water. Dan, can you see that big green tree where the water's running free and it's waiting there for you and me? Water, cool, clear water. Does that wet anybody's thirst? You're thirsty now? Look what I got. I'd hate to be drinking in front of it, but you know what? There's more verses that I forgot, but you're lucky that I forgot them. God uses natural needs to speak to our spiritual needs. He did this with the woman at the well. Jesus answered, it says here in John, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, The water I give him will come in him, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And she wanted that water. It started off with the illustration of water. Now it was about the spiritual water, and she realized her need. The second qualification, not just that all who are thirsty, but you who have no money, really poor. Now here's the thing. Earthly gold is not divine currency. Earthly gold is not divine currency. Faith is divine currency. Faith in the truth, God's truth, is divine currency. We have all been spiritually bankrupt. That's our problem. We've been bankrupt ever since the Great Depression. And I'm not talking about the one in the 1920s. I'm talking about the big crash back in the Garden of Eden. Yeah. We've always been bankrupt. We've never really been rich. Oh, we might have had earthly wealth, but that is not divine currency. Faith in the truth, God's truth, is divine currency. And we all qualify. This means that we all qualify to receive this thirst-quenching water, this spiritually thirst-quenching water. So how do we access it? How do we access God's bountiful supply of spiritual food and drink? He says, come to the waters. Come to the waters. Isaiah also in chapter 48 said something about that. Here's what it says about the children of Israel as they're going through the desert. He said, they did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and water gushed out. And it's very interesting that Paul takes that verse, that illustration, that episode in Israel's history, and he explains it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And here's how he explains it. They all ate the same spiritual food. That was the manna. That was the manna. And Jesus said, I am the manna that came down. I am the bread that comes down from heaven. Okay? They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. This is the source. Jesus identifies himself as the spiritual source of God's spiritual water supply. And he says this in John chapter 7. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Jesus is the source of that living water. What is God providing for us? And these verses come with three metaphors, the waters, the wine, and the milk. Waters, wine, and milk. They're spiritual metaphors, all of them. The first he mentions is waters, which not only quench the thirst, but purify the soul. And that's why we look at new birth as symbolic of baptism. It happens in water. It happens with water. And it symbolizes this idea of a cleansing, a new birth. Babies that come out, they come out with lots of water. Sometimes other stuff too, but basically they come out and they are covered with water. They've been floating in it for a long time, swimming around in it. And next he speaks of wine. Wine. And that's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians we hear that. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. It's unlike celebrating with physical wine. You know, it's not like that. God's spiritual wine brings us real joy, a real celebration that will outlast our life. It's beyond our life. It starts here, but it continues on throughout eternity, and it lasts through the hard times of life. That joy continues. And finally, he talks of milk, which means the Word of God. Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And you know what that illustrates is breastfeeding. I'm so lucky I get to help women learn how to breastfeed in the hospital. And it is such a beautiful thing. It's looked down upon in our culture sometimes. I think that's really unfortunate. But it shows the intimacy. God doesn't want to throw the book at you and say, here, you go read that. No. He wants to take you close to Him. He illustrates it in Isaiah, how he wants to comfort Israel at his breast, as a mother comforts her child at the breast with milk. And Peter uses the idea of the Word of God. That God doesn't want to just throw the Word at it or preach it to us. He wants to nurture it to us. He wants to breastfeed it to us, close to His chest, close to His heart, in an intimacy that is so symbolic of parenting. We need to have that intimacy when it comes to the Word of God. It's not a ritual. It's not just words, that a devotional time we have to go through. No, it is something where God wants to be intimate with us, and He wants to feed us this Word as newborn babes are fed at the breast. So if God offers salvation and divine joy and spiritual nurture, why are so many people investing their wealth in what is not bread? That's what Isaiah is asking. Why spend your money on what is not bread? And their labor on what does not satisfy? And a lot of people are putting their whole lifetime into things, and they're coming out saying, oh, it was just a bum trip. It wasn't satisfying. Life was not satisfying. You know? God asked that here in Isaiah, through Isaiah the prophet. And then He echoes that in Jesus Himself. When Jesus in John said, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Jesus is talking about what in chapter 6? He's talking about the communion table of His body and His blood. He was going to give Himself for us to feed upon in the communion table as the bread and the cup. And He's calling all people to come here to this table. Come, all who will confess that they are spiritually poor and spiritually hungry and thirsty. What will it cost? What is the cost of all of this? Well, God's answer, for us anyway, is without money and without cost. Without money and without... it is free. God is saying, this is all free I'm talking about. You're hungry, you're thirsty, you're poor, and I've got everything you need. It's all free. I'm offering it to you. Just come. In human terms, God's provision, in human terms, is priceless. But it's also, with a little hyphen, priceless. It's not just something that's so precious it's priceless. It has no cost to it. It is priceless. Literally, we cannot buy it with money. Money can't buy happiness. Money can't buy our way into heaven. Money can't buy a relationship with God. He won't take it. He won't take money for a relationship with Him. It is us He wants. He wants us. Educational wealth. It's useless in this case. It's not what you know. It's who you know. It's Jesus. Moral wealth. Oh, I've done a lot of deeds in this earth. Moral wealth won't work either. Why? Because Romans 3:23, all have sinned. All. There's not one of us that are not poor spiritually. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God's provision, in human terms, is priceless. But God's provision is priceless in heavenly terms as well. The feast has already been paid for. This feast right here represents the payment. His body and blood on the cross, already shed, it's already purchased, it's already paid for. Listen to me and eat what is good. You see how God is concerned about our spiritual diet? Listen to me and eat what is good food. Oh, I tell you, Rosemary and I are constantly learning stuff on the internet about the stuff we're being fed in our grocery stores. We need to be on better diets, really. If we could just go back to more of a natural diet. God wants us to have the right spiritual diet. And there is no richer meal than the Lord's Supper. There's no richer meal where our souls delight in the sacrificed Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Only the hungry and the thirsty poor can dine at the Master's table. Only those people. And it's a recognition thing. Because we're all that way. We could all dine here. The whole entire world. All of humanity could dine at this table. That's how big it is in God's mind. But not all recognize their need. He calls everyone, but we have to see that we are spiritually poor. Listen is God's call. And it's the last invitation in the Bible that I want you to listen to as we close. Listen to this last invitation of God in the Bible. Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter, near the last verses of the Bible. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Bride is us. The church is supposed to be telling everyone to come to this table. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Let's pray. Father God, what a wondrous message you have in these two verses in Isaiah. Lord, you are extending to the whole world, all of us who are all in spiritual poverty, all starving spiritually, all spiritually thirsty, even if we don't recognize it. You're offering freely the water, the wine, the bread, the milk. Your word, your divine nurture, your divine joy, your divine cleansing. Oh God, thank you that you are that kind of God. We believe you, and we come. And we ask, Lord God, that we will help others to come, that we will speak up and say, come. Come to this table. Come and find spiritual satisfaction that your soul longs for in Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray, amen.